plate a potential nugget.
It's a great point you make, Ashley, and if I may relate it to one of the things I picked up when I spoke to Tarun Khanna, who's your colleague at Harvard. Mm-hmm. One of the questions I asked him was, how does he think about how the world of careers would evolve, you know, if you wore your strategy hat and had a view on how that would evolve? And his headline point was, given the exponential rate of change in various disciplines and the exponential rate at which the dots are being connected across different disciplines, we're just going to see an explosion in terms of the number of possibilities that will open up in terms of career pathways. So the reason I mention it is, you know, if we sort of zoom out and look at how the career was, let's say, in the industrial age, 1960s, 70s, 80s, and maybe in the 90s to now, clearly it sort of moved from driving on a highway where everybody sort of made similar choices and moved forward to driving through a maze. And I guess in a way, one could even argue that the bar on being self-aware and making good intrinsic decisions is much higher today and in the future. And the cost of not doing it is going to pinch you much, much more. Does that make sense? Do you have a view on that? Just to provide some context to where this came from, here's a clip from Tarun Khanna. I had asked him the question, how do we apply some of the developments in the field of strategy to how we think about careers? And this is what he said.
Well, I think one of the things that's, at least I can give you my impressionistic answer to that field as a scholar of it and a practitioner of it. I don't know that in a field as young as strategy that it's very easy to arrive at consensus on these points of view. So take it with the proverbial pinch of salt. But my own sense is that one of the dominating sort of empirical regularities with which we're confronted with more and more frequently is this idea that newer avocations, as you were just saying, Deepak, newer industries, if you want to call them that, are perpetually being created and created out of existence, created and uncreated, if you will, if that's a word. And that this is happening at a very rapid rate. And I think it's becoming more and more transparent the extent to which this is happening as a result of combination of prior insights, right? So think of it this way. There's some very interesting work done by scientists and social scientists saying that, you know, precisely because the stock of overall knowledge is exponentially increasing, by some measures, the amount of codified knowledge that humanity has added to its repertoire in the last decade probably exceeds that in the previous century, and probably in the last 2-3 decades exceeds that of a millennia before that. So the rate at which we are understanding new things is truly accelerating. And what that means is that if it's possible to think of exponents of exponents, that the combinatoric explosion in new possibilities is even more bewildering, right?
Right.
And that means that the speed with which new combinations of things that were hitherto uncombined, if you will, or things that you would not normally think of in juxtaposition to each other, are increasingly coming into combination and forming new vistas and new possibilities in different ways. And of course, each of these entails a resetting of the table, if you will. And if you're not careful, you could find yourself out of a role to play. In other words, if you apply my previous thought experiment, you could find that you may have had some unique value addition in the previous landscape, but a new landscape has emerged in, let's say, the last 5 years. And suddenly your particular calling card is no longer in as much value at this point. So, you know, you see this happening faster and faster. And I think the underlying structural construct is that the rate at which new knowledge and therefore the rate of combinatorial possibility is increasing very, very fast. And there's no reason to think that that will diminish. So that's the first thing.
Now, let's get back to Ashley Willens.
Yes, I mean, I think that absolutely makes sense given what we know about the importance of learning and development and growth for career satisfaction and success, to the extent that careers really truly become a choose your own adventure and a continual process as opposed to an outcome. It's going to be really important that we self-select in to amazed that we're curious to always see what's around the corner. Because if we do end up in these situations where we're in a career that we're not excited about, we are probably going to be more likely to be left behind because we're not going to be curious to learn more. We won't want to intrinsically do the learning and development programs. I completely agree with this idea that jobs will require more flexibility and offer more flexibility than ever. And that we're also going to change our careers more than ever. I'm writing a case actually on this issue right now about how the nature of work is fundamentally shifting employees' relationship with work such that employees who are used to getting on a highway and driving in one lane straight are having a really difficult time adjusting to this new way of working. But especially as we're entering into the labor force, it's so important to pick a path that we want to go down or that we can keep exploring, that there's many avenues, because jobs are not only have more possibilities, a career has more alternative, like more options, more forking paths, but they also are going to be increasingly precarious going forward. So we might have to be agile and nimble within a skill set, learn new skills on the job. And there's good psychological research suggesting people who are intrinsically motivated are going to be better at seeing that as an opportunity as opposed to a threat. And so I do think purpose and autonomy, I see this in my data even now. So we've been running a lot of surveys over the COVID period over the last 8 to 10 months. And we're seeing in our data that emerging adults, college graduates are wanting even more purpose, mastery, flexibility. They wanted it before, and now they're really seeking out careers that allow them to express fundamental aspects of who they are and contribute to society. So I think that at the individual level, employees who do seek out those kinds of opportunities will be the ones that have the longest lasting and most satisfying and successful careers. And also at the organizational level, the organizations that are able to provide employees with these stretch opportunities, these learning and development goals, these growth and stretch assignments are really going to be the ones that stick around because they'll be motivating to employees and they'll be able to be as agile as needed to survive and thrive in this new, very challenging and interesting competitive landscape. And aside completely from this conversation, as I just finished a set of case interviews with Kraft Heinz, and that's exactly what they see as their competitive advantage. They often will hire one employee and then move them to a completely different division in the a completely different role, and then have all of these corporate development programs within the organization to attract and retain employees who are interested in being thrown in the deep end and be able to stretch and think differently so that they can be having these interesting, intrinsically motivated experiences, but also contributing creativity to the company as well.
Got it. I do think the bar on self-awareness is even higher today than it was 30 or 40 years back. I remember speaking with Rama Bijapurkar, a board member, an author, and an expert in the realm of consumer insight. I asked her about this notion of paradox of choice.
You know, one of the young men actually I know said to me, he must have been, he was a student of mine from Ahmedabad, and I said to him that you're very lucky because you can do whatever you want, whereas my generation was told that if you made your bed, sleep in it. So my brother went to IIT for 2 years, hated it, was told to finish it, and then he went to the Indian Army after that on a permanent commission. So he said, ma'am, but you don't understand my anxiety. He said, my father's told me you can do anything you ever want to do. And he said, I'm always looking around the corner to see if there's something better. And I absolutely what you're saying, the fear of missing out. But I think the more there are choices, the more you have to be centered. The world is complex and volatile. And I think the more complex and volatile it is, the more you have to understand your center and your core. You know, going back to the earlier discussion we were having, you have to really, really understand. So if you are anchored, then you can withstand being buffeted. It's the same for companies too, right? I tell companies that if you're going to do competitor busting, And whatever the competitor came up with, you're going to re-engineer it, reverse engineer it, and do better. When you have 20 competitors who are putting out 20 products because they also don't know all ready, fire, aim, then are you going to bust 400? How do you know which 20 of the 400 to bust?
It's noise, yeah.
Yeah, so you eventually have to have a deep understanding of who you are and what you're trying to do with your customers and take it from there. So if you don't have that who you are understanding, or at least your navigational principles, I mean, I'm willing to sacrifice money for glory, or listen, I want a certain amount of balance in my life. And I think you then figure out, and even if the answer is that I have to do these things because I have to do them, though I believe something else, I'm saying as long as you know that's what it is, you'll be able to deal with it better. But knowledge is an absolute must of what is inside of you.
Yeah, very true. If this topic is of interest, you might like my conversation with Tasha Urich, who's an expert in the area of self-awareness. She speaks about the notion of internal and external self-awareness and how we can leverage both to become a better version of ourselves.